What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Mary B, and this is my podcast, Something's Gotta Give. And I want to tell y'all a story that has truly impacted my sense of identity. I've had 3 different birth certificates in my 29 years of life on this earth. My first birth certificate was given to me when I was born, and both my biological father and mother are on that paper, along with my birth name, that is Mary Leah Boucher. When I was in the 7th grade and my foster mother, who was becoming my adoptive mother, had the choice of changing my name, she decided, yes, I think it'd be the greatest thing ever to change my quote-unquote daughter's name in the middle of 7th grade, when I'm about 13 years old. So during the process of the adoption being finalized, my second birth certificate came around, and I was given the name Nevaeh Tenesse Leah Smith, and only my adoptive mother's name was written on that birth certificate. And I remember coming into my first period in 7th grade and my teacher asking me if her records had been accurate, if my name had actually been changed. And she voiced how she found that so strange, and she never has had that experience with another student before, as if I already didn't feel so different from everybody else. Now my identity is being changed right before my eyes. I experienced a lot of brainwashing when I was with my adopted family. Everything that had created me to be who I was when I entered that family basically was wrong, because I wasn't what my adoptive mother wanted me to be. So she stripped me of any past identity that I felt close to then make me kind of like a newborn child for her. But the thing is, you can't create a newborn child at the age of 13, especially not one like me who has experienced so much life already at this point. But the adoptive system, the government essentially gives her the power to do that. So when I become Nevaeh Tenesse Leah Smith, I take on a whole new identity. And I tried my best to be the daughter that she wanted me to be. I did. I tried my best. Because who I had become, anything that I believed, wasn't pure, wasn't good. That's what I was taught, you know. Her family would tell me that my father doesn't love me and my birth mother doesn't love me, and everything that I've experienced is just wrong. It's a lie. Just being bullied for being alive, essentially, because I didn't come from her womb. You know, I was told that I'm not Brazilian, even though that's where my biological mother is from. I was kind of just brainwashed to being her daughter and being 100% black and from the South, because that's what she was. And so for my 6 years of living with her, I tried my best to be Nevaeh Tenesse Leah Smith, you know. She went so far as to getting Nevaeh tattooed on her leg. And the most hypocritical thing about all of this is she never called me Nevaeh. No one in her family called me Nevaeh. When I was at school and teachers would ask me, what do you like to be called? I would always say Mary. My adoptive mother still called me Mary. Her family members still called me Mary. The kids I went to school with still called me Mary. There were a few that called me Nevaeh because they thought the name was pretty, but that's not who I identified as, even though I tried to let people call me that name. It didn't feel like me. So I had no idea who I was, because here is this woman changing my birth certificate. I'm writing down on school papers what my name is. You know, legally, I am Nevaeh Tenesslea Smith, but I have no idea who this girl is. So I'm trying to erase everything that I come from to be, I guess, who I thought Nevaeh was supposed to be, but it didn't work out. I was a very angry kid. Oh my gosh, I was in trouble all the time. I was always speaking out of turn. I was like the class clown. I was living in the principal's office. I lived in lunch detention. I never kind of had the normal school experience, because every chance that I got to act out and be rebellious, I did. That's who I remember Nevaeh to be. A very sad child that was only seen when she would act a fool. When she would be reprimanded was the only time she could be seen. So therefore, I became ill-tempered. Because my environment was teaching me that was the only thing, the only way that my voice mattered. My adoptive mother worked two, sometimes three jobs at one point in time. So I wasn't being seen at home. The only time I was being seen is when she would come home to a voicemail on our home phone about how I misbehaved that day, or I didn't go to school that day, or I got into a fight and I'm now suspended, or I have in-school suspension. Nevaeh was a hurt girl. And it just continued the inner monologue that I had with myself that suppressing my real emotions was the best thing I could do, because it created a very angry version of myself. And the angry version of myself was the one that got all the attention. Her family members would make up stories or false narratives of where they thought I came from, to further separate me from my core experiences I had early on in life, so I could further identify with this character they were creating to be Nevaeh Tenesslea Smith. And that was my experience having that identity with my adoptive mother. Now, I'll never forget, my adoptive mother and her family come from Alabama. And so we would oftentimes drive, 8 hours from Northern Virginia. What is it, like 10, 12 hours actually, from Northern Virginia to Alabama. And we would spend like a week with her family down there. And it was summertime. It was about like maybe 10 of them sitting in the living room, me included, with my cousins and aunts and uncles, her and her brother. And they were all just picking on me, telling me how bad of a child I was, and I'm so ungrateful, and I'm all of these things that I just felt was a lie. I was like, why are you guys trying to make me the victim so bad when you guys are the hurt family? I'm so young and I'm the problem. I'm the youngest one in this room, and you guys are depicting me to be the problem of this whole entire family. My adoptive mother, a grown woman in her 40s, they're depicting me to be the problem of her life, as if everything that she's done in the past, I'm responsible for. As if I'm the reason why you got raped so many times, you can't have children. As if I'm the reason your last marriage failed and you had to resort to adopting a child by yourself. As if I'm the reason you're dating a man now who's an alcoholic and smokes Black and Milds throughout the entire day. As if I'm the reason your life is the way it is. But that energy, that burden was just always pushed onto me. And so this particular day, when everyone else was making me out to be the victim, my spirit was crying. It was so loud. And that's when Facebook was new. I didn't really have Facebook. And me and my cousin were close at that time. We went into the back room where there was a computer. And he had a Facebook. He was surfing the web. And I was like, do me a favor, can you look up my biological father's name. And he did. In my biological father's profile actually did pop up, but it had been so long since I've seen him, and he had his profile picture just didn't look like the version of my father I recognized. So I continued the search, looking up other family members under the name, under my last name. And it's funny because I never really spent any time growing up with my biological father's family, but I seen pictures of them and I have a very vivid memory. So when I came across an aunt who I recognized in photos, I just took a leap of faith. And I asked my cousin, hey, is it cool if I just send her a message asking if she's been in contact with my father? She messages me back shortly and says, yes, I actually have been in contact with your father. Would you like me to connect you all? So for about 2 weeks after talking to my dad behind my adoptive mom's back, we're now back in Virginia. My father has done some research and he finds that once your child reaches the age of 16 in Massachusetts, and I believe in Virginia as well, your adoptive parents no longer hold the right to keep you separated from your biological parents. So he convinced me that I should give him my adoptive mother's information because he really just wanted to come back into my life. So he was just simply asking for visitation rights again. Well, my adoptive mother hated this. She hated that I remembered where I came from and that I was searching for a way out because the abuse I was taking on from that family was not right. And I had had enough. I had enough. So she decided to kick me out. I had to stay with my friend for the week until my dad came down to pick me up. And I remember when we were doing an exchange of me. That is so weird to hear. But my father came and picked me up from my friend's house. We went to the mall because my adoptive mother didn't want me or my parents near her home. She didn't want me to pack up my stuff. She said that she was going to do everything. So we met at the mall and we exchanged everything. And she told my father, watch, you're going to get tired of her. You're not going to be able to control her. You're going to be calling me within the month to send her back. Because who she created, Nevaeh Tenesslea Smith, she couldn't control that version of me that she wanted, that she was projecting onto me. You were projecting onto my father. The chaotic version of myself that you created, that you molded from the ages of 10 to 16. You wanted to strip me of my identity so bad, and it worked. And the identity that you formed in me, you hated. Now, is that projection, if I've ever heard of it? I get back with my father. This is the first time in my life where me and my father are living together. Even though I know who my father is, he's been in and out of the picture before. He fought for custody battles when I was in foster care. I've never lived with my father before. So yet again, I'm being introduced to essentially a new parent, a new lifestyle. And he's not with my mother no longer. He's with a woman who becomes my stepmother. And when he found out that my name had been changed, he's like, who the heck is Nevaeh Tenesslea Smith? My daughter is Mary Leah Boucher. You notice how your parents claim you as their property? Your genes may have made me, yes, but at the end of the day, when I become 18 or 21 or whenever I choose to leave the nest, I am no longer your property. I am no longer your daughter. I am Mary Leah Boucher. But it took me a while to learn that, because anytime I came across a parent, they were so quick to take ownership of this body that I live in. So, of course, he has to change my name again. So here we go for the third time. I believe I'm 16. So in 16 years, I've had my name changed now for the third time. We go to the court, have my name changed back. Now this birth certificate is created in Massachusetts. The first one in Las Vegas, Nevada. The second in Woodbridge, Virginia. Now the third is in Boston, Massachusetts. This birth certificate, my last and most recent birth certificate, is under the name Mary Leah Boucher. And now my biological father is back on this paper. But you know who my mother is? My stepmother. In 16 years, I've had three different mothers physically written on paper. And boy, were they all horrible. Boy, did they lack the leadership and the loving and the nurturing and the guidance and setting the example, all those things that you learn from your mother. But they were quick to put their identity on a piece of paper, as if a paper validates who you are as a parent. No. You were just looking for ownership. You didn't want to help Mary Leah Boucher figure out who she is. You just wanted to put a label on me. As long as I was back to the name that you gave me at birth, as long as you have a mother on your birth certificate, that's all that matters, right? Did you ask me? Did anybody ever sit down and ask me what I thought? So in 16 years, the repeated core belief of my thoughts not being a thing, not being important, my opinion not holding any value, my sense of identity is forgotten. Just as long as I have an owner, I have someone to report to, I have someone to follow or someone to listen to. Well, what happens when I get to be an adult and I have to pay my own bills and I got to figure out life myself because my parents aren't really being parents? None of them. I'm lost. And I'm in impasse, so I'm becoming everyone that I come across. Especially with how heavy I used to drink. I truly believe when you're very spiritual, liquor is called spirits for a reason. You're opening your vessel for things to come into you. I'm young. I'm living with roommates. I don't know if I want to be this roommate today or that roommate the other day. I'm hanging out with my best friends every day. I don't know which one I want to be today. I'm going to school with tons of people around me. Oh, that style looks good on you. Maybe it'll look good on me. That hairstyle looks good on you. Maybe it'll look good on me. I like your nails. Maybe those nails would look good on me. You like that kind of food? Oh, I never tried it. Maybe I'll like it. Convincing myself that what other people were doing, well, I don't know who I am. Or maybe I was taught to get as far away from myself as I could. So I became everything that I wasn't. I engaged in behaviors that were not true to my core. I participated in conversations. I got a filthy mouth at cussing. I just continued the monologue that was introduced to me at a very early age, that whoever you think you are, Mary, isn't important. Let me take control over you. That's why I've always found financial security at a job instead of pursuing art, pursuing this gift of the gab that I have, being honest, telling my story, because I was told my story doesn't matter. Your story doesn't matter, Mary. You know what matters? What I think of you. what people's projections are of me. And it worked. It worked for so long until my core self had been run to the ground. I felt like I had been killed inside. So I got put in a period of isolation. Mary, what's wrong? You know what's wrong? I don't even know who I am. I don't even know who I am. No more. No more. I am 5'8". I am of mixed race. I am beautiful regardless of what your opinion of beauty is. I am smart and wise beyond my years. My art is my vulnerability. My gift is my speech. My story is my pipeline to my success because I know I'm not the only child that has experienced struggling with their sense of identity. Block out the noise. Block out the projections. Stop the comparing. Your inner child knows. Give him or her the space to show you. Walk with yourself. Find who you are. Find that inner child. Give them the space that they never had, that nobody else gave them. It is your responsibility in your adulthood to claim who you are. Walk into every room with a demeanor that demands everyone's attention. In every room. And I promise, I make a promise to myself that I will do that from now until the day I die. I know who I am, Mary Leah Boucher, and I have never been more proud to have my own sense of identity, and no one will ever take this away from me again.